Our final scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and I will be reading verses 15 through 20. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord. Okay, we're going to start off today's sermon with a little bit of audience participation. And if you're Facebook friends with me, you have a clue as to what we're about to do next, because I posted some questions like this on Facebook, and I got comments, 20, 30, 40 different comments on these questions. So, it's nice and easy, so don't panic. All you have to do is give your opinion. And really, who doesn't love to give their opinion these days? So I'm going to give you two choices. And all you have to do is I'll give you the two choices, and then I'll say, if you would choose option one, raise your hand, and then put them down. And if you would choose option two, raise your hand, and then put them down. And if you would choose neither, then just don't raise your hand. And I don't know what to do if you choose both, but we'll figure that out. Okay, so we're going to start off a little easy, then it's going to get a little more thoughtful as we go along. Everybody got it? Choir? Yes. All right. So, do you prefer Coke or Pepsi? Raise your hand if you prefer Coke. Raise your hand if you prefer Pepsi. Oh, Pepsi is kind of in the minority. Interesting. Okay. Do you prefer mayo, real mayonnaise, or Miracle Whip? Mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. Miracle Whip. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, here's one I think you might want to pick both for, and that's okay if you do. Do you prefer surf or turf? Okay, yeah, so let's just skip straight to both. Okay, yeah, I didn't think you'd want to choose between those. Okay, how about, would you rather go and see or stay at home and watch a funny movie or a serious movie? Raise your hand if you'd rather see a funny movie. Okay. Serious movie? Oh, we have a few serious movies. How about any kind of movie, you'll watch it? All right, yeah, I don't do horror very well, but pretty much everything else I'll watch. Okay, so would you rather be rich or famous? Raise your hand if you'd rather be rich. And it's okay to say that in church, I forgive you. All right, anybody would you rather be famous? All right, a few famous, all right. There were some interesting comments on Facebook about, well, if I was famous, then probably I'd be rich and then I could influence more people, you know. I mean, people really started to really think about this. Okay, would you rather watch television or read a book? So raise your hand if you'd rather watch television. I'm going to raise both of my hands because I love television.
Both, all right.
How about read a book? See, we have some pretty thoughtful people in this church. I like that. Okay, would you rather have the power to fly or the power to disappear? I'll give you a moment to think about that. The power to fly. Power to disappear. I feel like this is an extrovert versus introvert thing. A lot of introverts would just like to disappear and never be seen again. Okay, last one. Would you rather be trapped in an elevator? Apparently a lot of people, they don't even know what the second choice is, but they're going to pick that. Or caught in bumper-to-bumper traffic. All right. Elevator. Traffic. Very interesting. So, I have a book called Would You Rather that has hundreds of these questions in them. And normally I use them with children in youth groups, but I thought would work very well with grown-ups this morning too. So these are all rather silly choices that I don't know. Some of them we probably have to make, Coke or Pepsi, Miracle or Miracle Whip or mayonnaise. But I think it's easy to see that we as Americans are a nation of choosers. I mean, just think about it. So last Sunday night, right? While you all were watching the Super Bowl or ignoring the Super Bowl and watching the commercials, I went Krogering. Okay, and it was nice and quiet because everybody was at home eating and drinking and watching football. And so aside from running into actually some people from the church, it was pretty quiet there. And I found myself standing in the bread aisle. And I couldn't remember what kind of bread I had last bought because normally I just buy the same thing over and over again. But I couldn't remember. Have you ever looked at how many options there are in the bread aisle? Have you ever looked at how many options there are in the cereal aisle, in the toothpaste aisle? I should not have to think that hard to pick what kind of deodorant I want to buy. There are just choices on top of choices on top of choices. But having a choice, I think, has become kind of an American staple for us. It's part of the American dream, and having more choices seems to be what we value. Now, for as much as we like having so many choices, we don't want to be forced to make a choice, right? So when in doubt or when we're torn between two choices of something to buy or something to order, like surf or turf, we choose both when it's possible. So we decide we'll just get one of each. And sometimes that leads to having to tear down our barns and build bigger barns. If you know what I mean. So the choice we run into today in the Old Testament reading is really our least favorite kind of choice. Because not only can we not choose both answers, Moses is really trying to get the Israelites to make a choice. They're almost forced to decide. And in a sense, even a lack of a decision is still a decision. So Moses says to the Israelites, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity." Moses says, choose life, choose death. Choose good, choose evil. Choose prosperity or adversity. Blessings or curses. This dramatic choice appears at the end of Moses' farewell address, found in the later chapters of Deuteronomy. Finally, 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 the promised land is in sight, and these wilderness wilderings with these whiny Israelites is coming to a close. But we know from Numbers chapter 20 that because of his disobedience, Moses, who has been God's right-hand man, prophet, messenger, will not be permitted to enter the land of milk and honey. So Moses, who has spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness with these people, he knows his time with them is coming to an end, and that soon he will die. So these later chapters of Deuteronomy are his last will and testament, his final gift to the children of Israel, whom he has led and loved and been exasperated with and has interceded for. Some would read it and call it a warning. Others would read it and call it an exhortation and an encouragement. But whatever you want to call it, it is a choice. And it is a choice which is spoken baldly and boldly and simply. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And Moses says, choose life. Now, there are conditions attached to these choices, conditions that may make us a little antsy, because it kind of reignites the tension between God's grace and free will. Because Moses says, if you do this, then this will happen. But if you do this, then this will happen. And this choice, choosing life, choosing death, seems to put all the pressure, all of the responsibility on us. So this kind of choice makes those of us who have grown up with the idea of election and predestination and the idea that God first reached out to us and called us before we knew and responded in faith, we get a little uncomfortable with this because we like to think of God reaching out to us and not us always reaching out to God. Perhaps the idea of prevenient grace, if you know what that means, helps to alleviate some of this tension. But nevertheless, this kind of if-then statement, it happens all the time in the book of Deuteronomy. And if you think about it, it's kind of like a treaty, like an ancient treaty that they used to make between kings and their subjects. But this is a covenant between God and his people. And this covenant says if we choose life, we flourish. If our hearts turn away, we perish. We can't choose both, and we can't not choose. No one gets out of this life without making a choice here. So I gotta say, when I first read this passage, I thought, well, geez, Moses, when you put it like that, who wouldn't choose life and good and prosperity and blessings? It's kind of a no-brainer decision. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, so if you do all that, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Okay? Option number one. Option number two, but if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. Life, flourish, death, perish. Easy peasy, right? This is not a hard decision to make. We would choose life every time. Or would we? What if we thought of death a little differently? What if, as one writer proposes, we think of death as a slow process of giving ourselves to what does not matter? How many times a day, without even consciously thinking about it, do we give ourselves to that which does not matter, to what is temporary, to what is earthly? How many times a day do we give ourselves to unrighteous anger, petty selfishness, bickering, holding a grudge, giving in to the frantic pace of life as it rushes past us? How often do we give ourselves to greed, to the desire to get ahead, or the desire to get revenge? How many times a day do we give ourselves to despair or hopelessness? I think had we been standing there when Moses gave his farewell address and heard him say, "I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity," I have no doubt that we all would choose life. In the heat and the emotion of that moment, we would have proclaimed together, "We choose life." But I'm afraid in our daily living, maybe I'll just speak for myself, I'm afraid I often choose death far more often than I would like to admit. Now, before you get too bummed out thinking about this unpleasant truth, remember this. God's desire is for us to be blessed with all of the meaning and the significance that goes along with that tricky little word that we've talked about lately. God desires to give us life and not see us give ourselves to things that do not matter. God is hoping that Israel will make the right choice, that Israel will choose faithfulness, will choose freedom from slavery, from sin, by choosing life. So in this biblical book, which is so full of these, if you do this, then this will happen, it is good to remember that God's offer of life remains open 24/7 to Israel and to us. The prison sentence of our sin and all those frustrating little ways that we choose death every day, the prison sentence of our sin does not permanently condemn us to sin, because the choice of life always remains an option for us. If God is for us, Romans 8 says, if God desires life for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things, give us life? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies and God who forgives. And in verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of God, Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, any of those little ways that we choose death each day? Paul explains, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. No matter how far we've fallen, how far from God's side we have wandered, no matter how many times we say we choose life, but then we actually choose death, God's offer of life, abundant life, remains open to us in Jesus Christ. So each day is a new chance to choose life. And we can do this in a lot of very simple ways, enjoying simple things. We may not think of them as choosing life, but that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing when we laugh hard and loud and long, when we cry when it is time to cry, when we are gentle with ourselves and our imperfections and with others in their imperfections. We choose life when we spend our money wisely and responsibly, when we give generously, not storing up treasures on earth, but storing up treasures in heaven. We choose life when we forgive someone, even when he or she doesn't deserve it, and even when he or she has not asked for it. We choose life when we figure out what we hope for and then live with and in that hope. We choose life when we worship with all our heart, when we pray genuinely, when we love God's church, this one and all of them. We choose life when we believe that God really, really does love us. We choose life when we remember the stories of Jesus, when we see the face of Christ on everybody we meet. Everybody we meet. We choose life when we delight in God's good gifts to us. When we choose to see that all of life, every bit of it, is holy. We choose life when we open our hearts to the Spirit, when we search for something deeper and better than our own comfort, when we live in the joy beneath it all, when we let God make our life wonderful and abundant. My friends, one way or another, you will give yourself and your time and your energy to something. And it's going to be life or death. You will give yourself to things that matter or things that don't. The choice is yours. Choose life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.